Dear Confirmands, class of 2011, and to all of their families and friends and loved ones, and to all of you, the fellow members of the body of Jesus Christ, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My wife told me today that I should call my sermon hopelessly devoted to you. And I thought, well, that's a good idea, but I thought this class probably doesn't even remember that song. I think it was Olivia Newton-John, wasn't it, in the play Grease. But our theme today is simply devoted, as we have on the class banner today, based upon the words of Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they, that is these new Christians, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. This is God's Word. Please be seated. They devoted themselves. What are you devoted to? What are you passionate about? Confirmands, what are you devoted to? I look at this confirmation class and I see a group of young people that are devoted to a lot of different things. Some of you are fervent sports fans. Others of you might not be able to tell the difference between a golf club and a hockey stick. But some of you are devoted to your studies. Others of you like school about as much as Brussels sprouts. Some of you have a passion for art. Others would be challenged to draw a decent stick figure. Someone once asked, you know, if there is no passion in your life, if there's no great cause that stirs devotion in your heart, then have you really lived? That's a good question. When Peter stood up in front of that crowd in Jerusalem, and he proclaimed in the temple courts that Jesus, who had been crucified, was now raised by God from the dead, and that God had made him to be both Lord and Christ in fulfillment of the Scriptures, thousands of people that day were baptized, and they found the passion in their life. They found the cause to which they would be wholly and completely devoted the rest of their lives. God, in the person of His Son Christ, intervened in the sad and tragic story of the human family. In the greatest event of all of history, and by the suffering and death of His Son, He bore our sins to the cross and He paid their price. And by His mighty resurrection, He brought about a new life for all of us who believe in Him. A new life of surpassing peace, of inexpressible joy, of boundless hope, and of endless opportunities for service in the name of our Savior. They were devoted to Jesus. But what does that really mean, to be devoted to Jesus? It's easy to say, I love Jesus. But what is devotion? Well, what does it mean to be devoted to anything, really? I think we all agree that real devotion is more than just saying, I love someone or something. But there's got to be something that backs it up in our lives. You know, let's just think, for example, I have Jared Dean right here in front of me, all right? You guys love football? All right, you got a nod out of that one, yes? You love football. Are you devoted to football? Let me ask you this, and many of the others of you who may like football or any sport, I guess. Can you imagine a young man who wants to join the football team, but he's too lazy to study the playbook? He constantly is cutting down his teammates for flubbing up the plays, but of course everybody knows he's the one that's messing up because he hasn't been studying the playbook. He's frequently skips weight training. He's often late to practice. He's lazy in the drills. Jared Dean, is that kid devoted to football? No, of course not. So, the coach calls him in and says to him, well, you're going to be cut from the team. And the kid says, but coach, you can't do that. I love football. And the coach, what did he say? Son, you say that you love playing football, but you don't. Guys who really love to play football are devoted. They're devoted to the playbook, to the team, to the weight training, and to the practices. Would you say that's accurate? All right. You see the logic? Apply that to the life of the Spirit now. Let's say that we have a man named Philip who belongs to the church, but he's hardly ever here. Hardly ever hears the preaching of the Word of God. He always criticizes his fellow church members and cuts them down. He creates divisions between people. Comes to the Lord's Supper, oh, maybe once, twice a year, maybe on Christmas, Easter. Never prays. Confirmation class, is Philip devoted? Is he? No, he's not devoted. But when the elders ask him, Philip, do you really even want to be a member of the church? He says, oh yes, I love Jesus. And of course, what can the elders say? But Philip, people who love Jesus are devoted. They're devoted to the Word of God. They're devoted to their fellow believers. They're devoted to His Holy Supper. And they're devoted to talking with Him frequently. You see, it's one thing to say you love someone or something. But to be devoted to that means getting your life behind it and living it. I'm not saying that our devotion to Christ saves us. Not at all. There's nothing in us that saves us. We are saved by His grace. We are saved by His doing of the law of God and by His dying for us. We are saved by His grace and the forgiveness of our sins that He purchased for us. But devotion to His apostles' teachings, as you have it on your banner here, devotion to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship of His church, and to the breaking of His bread, and to the prayers in which we speak to Him, that is the barometer of your spiritual health that does not lie. And those who claim to love Jesus, but aren't devoted to His apostles' teaching, or to the fellowship of His people, or to the breaking of His bread, or to the prayers, they're deceiving themselves. They are the people that Isaiah describes when he says, these people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But God has given us a powerful word today, thanks to this confirmation class and the theme that they've chosen. He's given us a word that makes it crystal clear what it means to love Jesus. It means being devoted. Devoted. That's a strong word. It calls for us to be passionate and habitual and consistent in our involvement to that to which we are devoted, with that to which we are devoted. Just as devotion to Jesus is more than mouthing the words of a confirmation pledge, but it's honoring that pledge for the rest of your life in your acts of devotion. Devotion to the apostles' teachings. Class, that's exactly what we learned in the third commandment. That we would fear and love God so that we do not despise the preaching of His words by being absent when it's happening. But that we, as the people of God, would gladly hear and learn His Word. We would cherish the preaching of His Word. And we're not talking about Scripture here as an occasional snack food. I'm talking about devouring the Scriptures. Munching on it. Reading it. Marking it. Digesting it. Chewing on it. Mulling it over. Meditating on it. Getting as much of it as you can. There is enough here to fill you up for the rest of your life. And because faith comes by hearing, Paul says, devotion means that you're going to be present in the Lord's house to hear His word, perhaps even more than you will read it yourself. Because that's devotion, you see. And devotion to the fellowship with the saints in the local church. Fellowship is being bound together with your fellow believers. It's unity in Christ. It's unity in purpose and in love. That's devotion. The genuine Christian life is lived in the community. Look at the first reading today. How many times it talks about the people of God doing things together. Together. The genuine Christian life is lived in the community of the saints. That is the clear and express will of God, with no apologies to those who think that they can cut themselves off from the Church of Christ and yet they claim to love Christ. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. Devoted to the fellowship means that we're here for each other, that we support each other, we laugh with each other, we cry with each other, we warn each other, we pray with each other, we worship with each other, we forgive each other, we love each other, we work together. As Hebrews says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as some are in the habit of doing. And then devotion, third on your banner, is the breaking of the bread. It's Holy Communion. Our participation in this Holy Supper is not just the fullest expression of the unity that we have in the body of Christ, but it's also the fullest realization that we have with Jesus Himself. This is devotion. He gives us His body and His blood, so we're here. We present ourselves to receive it. As I tell the confirmants, you know, we're born once in life, at which point we are given the gift of life, but thereafter we have to eat frequently to sustain that life. And it's no different in the life of the Spirit. In our baptism, we were born into a new life, into a new family, born again of water and the Spirit. But communion is now the sacrament of the eating and the drinking that sustains that life until at last we dine with Christ. That is devotion. Devotion is not just saying, I love Jesus. Devotion is being here at the table of the Lord to receive the breaking of the bread of Christ. Luther once commented that if a person didn't receive communion at least four times a year, it's doubtful that he's even a Christian. How can you say you love Christ and be devoted to Him and yet habitually reject His supper invitation? This is devotion. And devotion to the prayers. Prayer is the last one on your banner. There's no substitute for prayer. Scripture says it so clearly. It's the shortest verse in the Bible in Greek. Pray without stopping. Pray without ceasing. When you're devoted to somebody, you talk with that person. So too with Christ. When you're devoted to Christ, you spend time talking with Him. And that can be prayers in the worship setting, yes. It can be prayers at certain time of the day, in the morning when you get up, or at a meal time when you sit down to eat, or evening, or maybe as you're driving to work, or whatever your regular time of prayer might be. But prayer is always there. As we sing in one hymn, it's the Christian's native breath. It's just there with every breath that we breathe. It's always on our lips, prayer, as we deal day by day with life. And we beg God's mercy and His help when we are facing a temptation, or when we are up against a trial of some kind, or when something good has happened and we offer thanksgiving to Him. We talk with our Savior. That's devotion. So what are you passionate about? What are you devoted to? There's a lot of diversity out here in this congregation. And we're devoted to a lot of different people and a lot of different causes. But here, in these walls, it all comes together in a common devotion to our one Lord and Savior Jesus and to life in Christ. And it's not hard to see how devoted He is to you. Just look at the cross where the shepherd laid down His life for the sheep. He gave you everything. And it's not hard to recognize those who are devoted to Him. Oh, just look how they love the teachings of the apostles. Look how they love being together in the fellowship of the redeemed. Look how they love and look forward to coming to the Lord's table to receive the Holy Communion. And behold how they love to talk with their Redeemer in prayer. And if it's true that we haven't really lived until we have devoted ourselves to some cause that we can really be passionate about, then devotion to this cause, his cause, the one eternal cause, man, devotion to his cause is really living, abundant living. Are you devoted? In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.